Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Yes, it's Lisa Williams, and thank you for joining me on Wednesday afternoon. Well, it's Wednesday afternoon where I am in sunny California. I have the weather, the sun shining into my office, which is absolutely lovely. But somewhere in the world, wherever you are listening, thank you for joining me. Today we've actually got a very special guest, actually. I love this guy. I've met him many times. And he is a transformative coach. And I'll tell you a little bit about my story on this whole process in a moment, because it's actually quite interesting. I'm very, very familiar with his work. But thank you for joining me. Yes, we are not going to do any mediumship, but we are actually going to be talking about transforming your life and how you can make that happen. And I know many of my listeners actually have been struggling with this. Many of my listeners kind of, you know, we get in a rut. We really do get in a rut, and sometimes we need to actually move things along and shimmy it all up and change things about, which is exactly what I have done recently, which leads me into the new development, the new thing, the new phase in L Dub's life. In my life, it's all change. Yes, we are launching the school, the physical school, which is the LWISSD physical location in Los Angeles. I announced it last week on my radio show. So if you are around on Sunday afternoon, from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, we are having an open house in my school. Now, don't think it's anything with Hogwarts, like, you know, moving walls or anything like that. It's just a little classroom, as I say, but it's my classroom. It's fantastic. My dream has become alive, and it's where I will be hosting most of the teaching now, and it's fantastic. But, yes, we are actually doing an open house, so between 3 and 5, you can come along, come and see what's going on, come and share in all the fun. And we also have some of my students who are going to be giving readings. They're going to be giving like 15-minute readings as well. These are free of charge. If you want to do an exchange of energy and tip them, that's all up to you. But they are offering their services. And then I have the wonderful Max Ryan, who is going to be, I'm going to be on his radio show later on today. We are going to be talking about changing your negative thought patterns. And then also I will then be doing reading. So, of course, it wouldn't be my school if I didn't actually stand up and do some readings and do some work maybe. So that is happening on Sunday. You can go to my website, lisawilliams.com, but the main website is lwissd.com. And if you are in the local LA area, we're holding meditation groups, we're holding closed circles, I'm holding also a message service every single week. This is all starting in November, so it's a very exciting time for me. And as we're going to be talking about today, we're going to be talking about bringing your dreams into reality and your thoughts into reality. Well, I've got to say, this was only a dream for me. And I remember chatting with Tony Stockwell back in April, and I said, you know, my idea, I would love to have my own school. And he went, well, why don't you? And I sat and thought, and I went, you know what, why don't I? And that's what happened. I created it. I put it out there, put it out to the universe, and found the space, found it, and it was amazing. And finally, it's coming into reality. There is some pictures on the website. Now, on the LWISSD website, which you can actually see, and quite honestly, I've been the one that's been, you know, drilling holes and things like that. We've had, obviously, everybody else do it. I haven't done any of the plastering or anything. But and Caleb's been running around like a crazy man, doing it. But it's been quite an interesting eye-opening thing. So I've been putting shelves and whatever together. I'm quite handy like that. But anyway, the joys of today. All right, so today we are talking with Michael Neal, who I have to say is amazing. He really is. He's an internationally renowned transformative coach. And if you have no idea what that is, stick around and find out, because trust me, his coaching changed my life, and I'm going to tell you that. He is the best-selling author of Inside Out Revolution, which I have a copy in front of me. Amazing. Also, he is the author of You Can Have What You Want and Feel Happy Now. He's also started the academy, the Super Coach Academy. He's spent the last 23 years as a coach, and really to many, many people, and transformed their lives, actually, to celebrities, royalty, all of these, you know, big organizations. And seriously, this guy is amazing. And so if you have any questions for us today, please call in on, where's my number, 424-258-9223. That's 424-258-9223. Michael, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, and I'm so glad to hear you stumble over the number. I've been doing my show for about 8 years on Hay House Radio, and I still forget the number every single time.
I forget it all the time.
I know. What are you going to do?
I don't even know my own number. So don't expect me to remember something. I know. How are you?
I'm really well. It's lovely to hear your voice, and I'm excited to hear about the school. We've got my godchildren coming over to carve pumpkins 3 to 5 on Sunday, or I'd come down myself.
Oh, never mind. Pumpkin carving is probably more exciting, trust me. So, this book, I mean, I'm going to just tell everybody a little bit about Michael. I don't know, how long have I known you? Oh, my God, 5 years? Something like that?
Yeah,
you met at Hay House?
Yeah.
Something like that. And I'm just going to tell you, I actually was, I'd known Michael for a long time, and I was going through a really, really bad breakup, relationship breakup. And I was thinking, maybe I should just call Michael. And then my friend actually turned to me. She said, you need to speak to my friend Beck. And so I started working with this woman, Beck Lealman. And she started to tell me about this Super Coach Academy. And I'm thinking, that rings a bell. And then she mentioned Michael's name. Well, I'd already gone into my second month of training, coaching with her. And it was transforming my life, so much so it enabled me and gave me the courage and the confidence to get up out of my life and move on. And it was amazing, absolutely incredible. And that's when, Michael, your name came up. And I had this, screaming down the phone at Beck, who was in the UK. And your coaching and how she put it changed my life. And so I just want to give you a public thank you out there to everybody.
Oh, that's
so
very kind.
Thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome.
Well, it was amazing. So, listen, how did you – I mean, you've been doing this for years. What got you into this? I mean, because coaching's only really become part of our, I suppose, vocabulary over the last maybe 5, 10 years.
But you know, I started out doing therapy, and I did, you know, sort of NLP therapy. That's where I started. And I really only did therapy because that's the way I was taught. I didn't know there was another option if you wanted to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point, and if you give me 2 minutes, I'll give you, because this was an amazing story. I had a woman come to the house who was agoraphobic, and she came to the house, but she came to the house on the floor of her boyfriend's car under parkas.
Wow.
You know, she was scared. And I felt terrible that I'd made her come because I didn't know how to work with somebody another way, but it was like it was clearly a big deal. And I had learned enough about panic attacks and anxiety that I knew that with panic attacks, there was almost always an initial incident. There was something happens once, and then people are so scared of it happening again that whenever they think it's going to happen again, they start to have a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I said, you know, what was, I explained that to her, and I said, what was that first time? And she said, well, I was on a bus in South London, and I was, looked to the person next to me, and it was like their skin was dissolving, and there were no boundaries between her and me. And then I looked around the bus, and every person I looked at, same thing started to happen. They dissolved, and there was no boundary between her and me. And I looked outside the bus, and anywhere I looked, all the boundaries started to dissolve. And that's when I knew that Satan had taken over my body.
Wow.
And I was so startled because I'm sitting there listening to her describe a mini enlightenment experience. And she, as a Pentecostal Christian, thought that it was Satan. And I did what I do, but I mostly gave her a copy of a book called, you know, What is Enlightenment, which is a collection of people sharing their stories of enlightenment experiences, and said, you know, and I gave her another book for her parents on a sort of a Christian healing system that I'd been studying that I thought might appeal.
Wow.
I'm out of drama school in London, and I just got my first big job up at the Manchester Library Theatre, and so I'm on my way up to Manchester to go do that, and I get this message on my machine from this woman, you know, I'll call her Barb, and you know, she said, you know, Michael, please call me. It's very important. And I gotta be honest, I did not call her, and that was the day I decided I should not be a therapist, because I just thought that was so utterly irresponsible of me that so for 2 years I quit entirely. I still taught because I love to teach and I love what I do, but I wouldn't see clients. 2 years later, not exactly, but pretty close to 2 years later, I get a message on my machine. Hi, Michael. My name's Barb. I don't know if you remember me. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I remember you. Would you be open to coming out to meet me for lunch? And in my head, I kind of like, I thought, of course, I owe it to her. I need to take my karmic payback here. Mm-hmm. You know, I abandoned her in her time of need. I need to go and deal with whatever she wants to throw at me. And I go into this cafe in, I think it was in Stoke Newington, and it was so much worse than I'd expected, because it wasn't just her. It was her boyfriend that I remembered from bringing her to the house. It was her parents, and it was her grandparents. And I'm like, oh, God, it's an intervention.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
And she said, I said, hey, Barb, what's up? and she said, well, we wanted to bring you here to thank you.
Wow.
Okay. And she said, yeah, you know, after the session, she said, I had an insight, and it was so profound. It was like a religious experience, and I realized that there was nothing to be afraid of. And I was so, it was so all from 100 to 0. It was so all consuming that my life totally transformed in that moment. And my, this is, I don't know if you know, remember Richard, he was my boyfriend, he's my fiance now, and you know, he's like giving me a hug and saying, thanks for giving me my girl back, man, in a British accent, obviously.
Yeah.
And the parents were there to thank me, and the grandparents were there to thank me. And I'm sitting there thinking, I quit because of you.
Wow.
Like, you're
and
the
did
one.
You tell her?
No, I didn't. You know, it's funny. I had the guts to show up. I didn't have the guts to tell the truth. What was interesting is I thought, well, I clearly ought to still be working with people, but I didn't want to go back to doing therapy. I didn't want to go back to doing something where people were in real pain and were dependent on me to get them out of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly somebody mentioned this thing called coaching, where you took basically okay people and helped them have wonderful lives. And I thought, well, I can do that. And that's how I became a coach. And
it's the best journey ever. That's an amazing story, to think that you actually stopped doing your work because of one person. I mean, we all face it, because there's been many times, I wouldn't say that many, but someone said, oh, you've got this wrong, and really thrown the book at me, and I'm thinking, why do I do it? Because we have those insecurities, and I always call it ego. We have that. We get into our ego. We get into that mind, and that chatter, I call it Veronica. My own head goes in, and Veronica comes out, who I just want to lock away in a padded cell sometimes. But we do. We get into that space. So that's so interesting that you went through that yourself.
Oh, and you know, for 2 years.
Wow.
And it was such a dramatic wake-up call. That I realized I couldn't not do this. And it's been just, as I say, it's been this wonderful learning curve. And the whole thing for me is the learning curve. I was on this one learning curve about helping people, and then I had this just ridiculous insight about 2006, 2007, which is what the Inside Out Revolution and the book Supercoach are both came out of. And I just saw something so fundamental about human beings and about our innate resourcefulness and our innate resilience and our innate creativity and well-being and wisdom that it literally turned everything I had been teaching on its head. And this was another one of these great humbling experiences where I was about to go on the book tour for Feel Happy Now, which had already been out in the UK and done really well, but it was coming out in America. And 10 days before the book tour was supposed to start, I realized that the fundamental premise behind the book was wrong.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was a big one. But you know, it was sincere. You know, I was sincerely wrong. Like, I really thought that's how it worked.
Whoa.
The beautiful thing has been, once you see a glimpse of truth, once you see how it really works, there's no going back. It's not like I could go back and teach it the old way.
Yeah. You know, it's so true, because I think that's what it is in life. I mean, I can only just pull on a relationship and things like that where, you know, I was captivated in this whole relationship. And then suddenly when I was pulled away and I stepped back and really looked at it, probably through other people's, you know, other people's eyes and being questioned, certainly by Beck. She never told me what to do. It was just she would give me questions that made me go, oh, okay. And it's when you see things in a different light, and it's about stepping into that authenticity. And it was through her work, through the Supercoach Academy and her work as a Supercoach now, that made me realize that I needed to step into an authentic pathway. And I was doing it in my work, but I was certainly not doing it in my private life. And now I'm probably one of the most blunt and honest people you will ever meet. In fact, people are like, oh, really? Do you want to ask Lisa? Because she'll give you the absolute truth.
I don't know. I seem to remember you being pretty blunt years ago, but I'll take your point.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I would always worry about what people would think. But now, you know, it's funny, because Beck said something to me. She said, and it was so interesting, she said, I wish everybody would be a little bit more selfish and explain what they want out of life, because then there would be no confusion. People wouldn't go around not knowing things. And I think that's so important, because a lot of us don't communicate. And I think that's what, you know, when we step into being authentic, when we step into that space, I think it's powerful. I mean, you must have seen that happen with your work.
It happens again and again, and it can happen mid-sentence. I mean, that's one of the things that I love is, you know, I'll get on the phone. Today, just two of the coaching sessions I did today, one was with a doctor in the UK, and one was with an executive here in the US. And the session with the doctor in the UK is all caught up, all in this just crazy place in her head. And I think we were probably less than 5 minutes in, and she just dropped back into that authentic place inside herself. Mm-hmm. And all the things that had seemed like big problems coming on, they were done. There was a couple of things to do, which she, as far as I know, is done. But on the whole, it was fine. You know, the executive today, again, same thing, started out, oh, it's crazy at work, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. And then just partway through the session, just kind of fell back into that home base, that authentic place that we all have inside of us.
Yeah.
And from there, it's just details. You know, there's if there's stuff to do, you do it. But
yeah.
The drama, it takes the drama out. It doesn't make it boring. I don't know if you've seen those ads. They've got great ads now for some car company where they say, we take the drama out of negotiation. And there's this guy shaking hands with the couple, you know, and the couple look a little disappointed. And he goes, not enough drama. And they go, yeah. And he reaches into his drawer and pulls out like a puppy. And they go, oh, what a cute puppy. And he goes, oh, no, not a puppy, a wolf cub. And then the mama wolf comes in and bares its teeth. And they're like, no, we don't need the drama. We're okay. We don't need the drama.
True,
you know,
yes,
we don't need
it.
The drama. Life is busy. We don't need to add suffering to the pain. We don't need to add drama to the logistics.
No, it's true. And that is something that I teach all the time with my students. In fact, I pull them away from Facebook, any form of social media, anything, any of their escapes for 8 weeks. And they curse me, but they realize how much drama they bring into their life by actually getting sort of wrapped up in it. And it's crazy. What I love about your book, The Inside Out Revolution, and I'm just going to say to everybody, if you've just tuned in, we're talking with Michael Neal. He's got an extraordinary book. You can actually go and see his website, which is supercoach.com. So easy. But this book, Michael, is so easy to read. I mean, I picked up books like this and thought, I can't understand a word that they're saying, but this is unbelievably easy, and you've given great examples. I think you were using an example of a carpenter at one point, and it was so simple for me to understand that I actually went back and went, is it that simple? It was amazing.
And that's kind of how you know you're on track, is life is that simple. And when it starts seeming more complicated than that, all that means is we've gone up in our head, we've started getting caught up in our thinking, and we've lost touch with that, with our spiritual selves. I mean, there are a million other ways to say it, but what we're always saying is that spiritual part of ourselves.
Yeah.
And life is spiritual. And we are human beings. Where, you know, I love, my favorite quote probably is Teilhard de Chardin, you know, saying, you know, we're not human beings having spiritual experiences. We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
And now, it's an entirely different world you walk in, and an entirely different way that you walk in it when you see that. And that seeing is transformative. And, you know, we have a saying in Supercoach Academy, you know, when somebody has a transformative insight, nothing changes, but everything's different. And from that place, and this is what I love, it's why I call it the kindness of the design in the book, is from that place, we then can go out and create all this amazing stuff in the real world, in the air quotes, real world, in the world of form, in the human world. Because when you're in that place, life's just easier. You know, one of the coaches who sometimes works on the faculty for us at the academy was telling me, he works with professional athletes, and he was doing a talk for some general managers from the NFL, and one of these general managers came up to him and said, well, look, this is really interesting, but it seems to me that if I hire you as my team's mental performance coach, that your job is that if my field goal kicker is lining up to make the game-winning kick, you know, with 0 seconds left on the clock, your job as the mental performance coach is to make sure he's in the best possible state of mind to make that kick. And my friend said, no, actually, my job is to make sure he realizes that his life will be absolutely no better or worse if he makes that kick than if he misses it.
Mm-hmm.
because that's the truth of the human experience. And if he sees that as it happens, he's going to be in a pretty good state of mind to make the kick. And when we take on life from that place, and I have, you know, the examples of the casino and all the other examples, but when you take on life from that, with that freedom, knowing there's a net, and knowing there's a universal safety net, you can do all sorts of things that other people think are crazy, because you know you can't, you know, you can fall, but you're always going to land in the net.
That's right. Yeah. It's, you know what I love about it, and I was trying to instill this into my son, and you know, talking to a 13-year-old is really, I just sometimes give up. But, you know, I've actually tried to help him see this, where it really doesn't make any difference, but it's about how much, you know, you desire something, and if you desire it, it will happen. And he's starting to see that, because he was in a very really unhappy place in his school. And I said to him, I said, okay, so let's start thinking about it. What's going to be the worst case scenario? And eventually, whether we manifested it or not, but I do believe it was his thought process. He's now in an amazing school, and he has to go and do 6 hours of tutoring a week. Well, to a 13-year-old, that's like ridiculous. And he doesn't moan about it, because it's his way of thinking about it. It's his thought process. It's been quite a transformation. And, you know, I've used some of the techniques that you've said in the book on him, adapted them slightly. But he's really changed his way of thinking as well. So it's been amazing. But you also talk about dancing between the spiritual and the material, which is what you were talking about. And I think there's so many people, certainly in my line of work, where they fight something so hard, and they go, well, how come you're just so spiritual and it always happens for you? And you address this in your book. Can you just touch on that for me, please? Because I know there's so many people out there going to be like, oh, wow, I need to listen.
Well, you know, one of the things that is true of most people that I meet is they don't just want peace of mind. They want a nice piece of real estate. You know, they don't just want, you know, to feel good in themselves. They want to feel good in the front seat of their new Porsche. Now, the world is set up in such a way that you can get some of what you want. I mean, I know one of my books is called You Can Have What You Want. It wasn't You Can Have Everything You Want All the Time, because the world doesn't seem to work that way.
Yeah.
When you start to see that you are okay no matter what, that you will not be one jot happier winning the lottery than losing your legs, and there are studies. I mean, that's, if you read Professor Daniel Gilbert or you watch his TED Talk online, you'll see there are studies that have proven that, in fact, people who win the $100 million in the lottery and people who become paraplegic and quadriplegic within 2 years, in fact, I think it's within 1 year, are back to the same level of happiness that they were at before it happened. When you really get that, not as a concept, but the truth that we live in the feeling of our thinking, we don't live in the feeling of our bank balance, we don't live in the feeling of our possessions, we don't live in the feeling of our relationships, we don't live in the feeling of our environment, we live in the feeling of our moment-by-moment thinking, then you have a different relationship with the world of form. And you may still drive a Porsche. You may still have a nice piece of real estate, or you may still not drive a Porsche and not have a nice piece of real estate. But you live in the peace that passeth all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And from that place, ironically, that's the easiest place to create in the world of form from. It's the easiest place to come up with money-making ideas from. It's the easiest place to implement them from. It's the easiest place to have wonderful relationships with the people around you from. And, of course, if that's the energy you're coming from, people are drawn to you. And one of my first teachers, and I know you and I have talked about him before, Stuart Wilde, you know, he used to say, look, this is the secret. You want to be successful in life in the world of form, you work on your energy. You get yourself into that clean and beautiful place inside yourself where people people just want to be around you to hang out in your energy. And when they show up, bill them. And you know, it sounds crass when he said it like that, and he meant for it to sound crass. But that's the truth of the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to see, oh, my God, I don't need any of this to work. I don't need any of my plans and schemes to work in order to be happy and loved and whole.
Yes.
Well, I'm free to try anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if I'm free to try anything, I'm going to win more often than I'm going to lose.
Yeah. It's a good place to be. I remember being in that space, and that's where the school came from. And I have to, you know, my spiritual development school. And, you know, I looked at your Super Coach Academy in many ways to see how you were doing it. And, you know, I never thought I could do something like this. And it was only when I actually was happy within myself, I'd let go of the baggage, I'd let go of the crap. It was just there. It was just horrible. And once I felt free and that I could do anything, it was like I was standing on top of the world. And I remember, I just said it to Karen earlier, you know, wow, do you remember 18 months ago when we were just talking about it? And here I am now with the launch coming about. And I think that is the space, because I had just come out of this yuckiness. It was like this sludge. And then suddenly I felt this immense freedom. And I only had this conversation with a student of mine earlier. She said to me, how do I get beyond my ego into the work? And I said, you know what, you have to be comfortable as yourself doing the work. Everything else is irrelevant. I said, you have to just surrender. And as long as you're comfortable doing the work, then you can. And she's like, wow. And she said, I feel like I've failed you. I said, no, you haven't failed me. You haven't failed yourself. All you've got to do is realize that you can do it. And it was amazing. She went, thank you. And that was it. That's all she needed. She went, thank you, because I knew that was
you know, and awesome. I want to highlight, you know, that moment that you're in where you're seeing something that started from nothing, that started as an idea, and you're seeing it take form. I always encourage people to look for those in their life and to kind of take a mental snapshot of them, to kind of record them, because that's where everything comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from nothing.
Yeah.
And so if you look into your future and you don't see, you know, where your big break's going to come, where your shift in income's going to come, where your next great idea's going to come, that's exactly as it should be. Because that means you're actually looking into the unknown, and the unknown is the space where miracles happen. The unknown is where the new thought, the new idea, the new possibility shows up. And if we spend all our time reviewing the known, looking at what we've tried in the past and thinking, well, okay, which variation of that could I try this time? Looking at what other people have done and going, okay, which variation of that could I do? We're playing in such a small field. You know, one of my coaches once said to me, you've created a masterpiece of a life on a postage stamp of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really profound for me, because I really saw the truth of it. And when I stopped trying to create from what I had and started creating from nothing, from a blank page, everything changed. Both the sense of fun of it, because there's nothing more fun than a blank page, because you can create anything. But also the facility. You start to develop a real facility with not knowing and with hanging out in the unknown. And insight after insight, innovation after innovation, solution after solution pours into that space.
You know, it's about being vulnerable, I found, and not being scared to be vulnerable. Because that's where everything comes from. And that's exactly what you're talking about. It's exactly the space. And only you know that you're vulnerable. That's how I look at it. Only you know, because the outside world don't know anything. Don't only see what you want to let them see, I suppose. That's how I look at it. So you have a super coach training program. Tell everybody about this. I mean, I know about it, but tell everyone about this.
So this was my dream. I actually, for over 20 years, ever since I was a kid in drama school, and studying esoteric things and spirituality and psychology, I thought, wouldn't it be cool to create a school that, like, brought together the best of spirituality and psychology, and just where you could learn that. And I, it was a bit of a fantasy of mine. And I remember my this is sad but true. My original idea came from a Marilyn Monroe movie called Let's Make Love, and it's this terrible 60s musical with Marilyn Monroe and Yves Montand, the French actor, and he plays mm-hmm. this eccentric millionaire who falls in love with Marilyn Monroe, who's a showgirl, but she'll only date actors, and so he puts on a show so that she can be hired in the show, and in the show creates a sketch where they need an actor to play him, to make fun of him, and then he auditions for the part of himself, gets himself cast, but of course he needs to learn to sing and dance and be funny. And so they hire the world's greatest comedian, who at the time was Milton Berle, for this really takes anyone back. It takes my father back. And the world's greatest dancer, so it's Fred, I think it's Fred Astaire, not Gene Kelly, but it could have been Gene Kelly. And definitely it was Bing Crosby, was the world's greatest singer, to learn how to sing and dance and be funny. And I thought, that's the way to do it. If I'm going to learn something, I want to learn from the best in the world. And so what I set about doing was bringing in a faculty who were the best at the world at what they do. And as my work has gone in this transformative way, I've created a faculty of the best people in the world at doing this work. And it's been so much fun, and I've learned so much, and we've done it. This will be our fourth full year, our fifth full academy, our fifth year doing this teaching. And we have sessions in L.A. and New York and London, and it's been such a treat to put the academy on, and I'm just, this year is already proving to be our best year. We're going to have people coming in because we now have so many resources that we can make available to people even before the classes begin in January, that this group's going to come in at a level that some of our past groups have finished up.
Wow.
Yeah, and wow. And it's true. And I'm sitting there talking to the faculty, going, "I don't know where we're going, because, but I know it's going to be great."
Uh huh. And that's it. Sometimes you don't need to know where it's going to go. You just know that you're going to go in the right way, in the right space.
Yeah, it's funny. One of my I haven't used this metaphor for a long time, but one of my favorite metaphors for transformation is the obvious one. It's the butterfly. And you know, Robert Holden, I think, tells the joke of the two caterpillars looking up at a butterfly in the sky, and one of the caterpillars turns to the other one and goes, "You're never going to get me up in one of those things." and coaching, transformative coaching, is like a cocoon. It's like stepping into a cocoon. And you can't, there's no point stepping into a cocoon having decided what you want to have come out the other side.
Yeah.
But the one thing you know when you go into the cocoon is what comes out the other side is going to be authentically you, it's going to be beautiful, and it will fly.
And it's
and
so
that's possibility. That's the human potential in a nutshell.
Wow.
You can be authentically you can be beautiful, and you can fly. Other than that, you know, there's not much to it.
No, exactly. It sounds simple when you put it like that. It sounds so simple. And I suppose it is. Michael, I want to go to the phone lines. You're open to taking some questions. We've got
fantastic. I'd love to take calls.
All right. Awesome. I want to come to Andrea here in Ohio. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Listen, you're on with Michael. What's your question?
Hey, Andrea.
Okay. Hi, Michael. So I actually spoke with Lisa about 2 weeks ago, and my question for you is I struggle with shyness, and then I've always struggled with my sexuality. So how do I overcome that to, you know, make friends here in Columbus, Ohio, because I'm new here. I've been here about 6 months. And how do I break through with that?
Well, the key to anything like that is to see where it what's really going on. So my guess is, and it's a pretty educated guess, because you're probably human and not a squirrel. Would that be a fair guess on my part?
Right, yeah.
so I'm only talking about things that are true of human beings, but they're true of all human beings, is that there are times where you exhibit behavior that people would call shy, and there are times where nobody would think of you as shy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, you just called into the show.
Right.
Yeah, that's not a particularly shy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it was incredibly brave. Maybe it felt it, maybe it didn't, but it's just a normal thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we do, and this is true of all of us, is as we grow up, sometimes we do things that would be called shy, sometimes we do things that wouldn't, and at some point we feel the need to declare, am I bold or am I shy? Am I outgoing or am I not outgoing? And from that moment on, from that moment we declare it, whether we did it consciously or not, we decide that we're shy or we're not. All the times where we behave, let's say we decide that we're shy, all the times that we behave like a shy person does, we go, ha-ha, proof. And any time we behave in a way that a shy person wouldn't, we go, well, that's just an anomaly. That's just kind of weird. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
Now, so you recognize that, right?
Yeah, some people have told me, like, I never realized you were shy. And I'm like...
Let me tell you a true story of me. I grew up thinking I was shy. Now, you would think that was nuts because I was an actor. I did a sitcom. I was on the radio. I did all this stuff, but I really thought of myself as shy. And about 3 years ago, we got invited to a Grammys party here in L.A., and I just thought, oh, I don't want to go to that. I'm shy. And, mm-hmm. and you know, my wife was like, we're going. So
yeah.
I was sitting there worrying about it. And a new thought came to mind. Like, it wasn't a technique. It was just a thought came to mind. And it was like, well, what if you weren't shy?
Mm-hmm.
And it suddenly dawned on me, I made up the idea that I was shy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just decided not to make it up for the party. I didn't
right.
try and make up that I was brave or try and make up that I loved people. I just stopped making up that I was shy. And I went to the party and I had a fantastic time. In fact, my wife had to drag me away.
Yeah.
And it was such an interesting thing to see. We make up our personality because
yeah.
we all exhibit all traits. If you've ever heard of shadow work, you know, where they look, psychologists look to see your hidden dark side, you know, all these lovely, the dark side of the light chasers was Debbie Ford's famous breakthrough book. You know, where all these people trying to be positive all the time, you know, had some pretty dark thinking underneath. Well, that's just because human beings, we are infinite. We can't be limited to positive or negative, to shy or not shy. We contain all possibilities. We are vast. So the problem isn't that sometimes you're shy. The problem is that you think that's you.
Right.
As opposed to thoughts that go through your head from time to time and seem real.
Yeah, change my train of thought.
Well, you can change your train of thought, and if you can do that, well, that's great. But even more than that, if you can see that the real you is neither shy nor not shy.
Right.
Then you don't have to worry about it. It's off your dance card. Right? That's no longer
right.
your problem to solve.
Right.
And it's like, hey, I'm going to just go do what I do, and some days I'm probably going to turn up a bit shy, and some days I'm going to turn up really outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, the fact that I turn up is going to be the thing that has the impact on how my life turns out.
Right.
Not whether I turn up shy or I turn up outgoing. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, it does make sense.
And, you know, the same thing, without necessarily going into it here, the same thing's true of sexuality. You know, we all think all sorts of things. And some of those thoughts we're comfortable with, some of those thoughts we're not, some of those thoughts we act on, some of those thoughts we don't. And you're beyond sexuality. And
right.
you'll make your choices behaviorally about which thoughts to step into and express in your life. And that's your call. That's nobody else's business.
Mm-hmm.
But you're
right.
bigger than that. You know, you are not straight, bi, or a lesbian. you know, you are not sexually, you know, I'm struggling to find language for it, but the truth of you is so much bigger than that problem.
Right. That's usually why I try to tell. Yeah, I usually try not to tell anybody because I don't want them to just look at me like that. I just say, you know, my name's Andrea, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's great. And that's the freedom that we have.
That's not all I am, so I don't want to look at me like that.
You're welcome, and thank you, Andrea. And Lisa, that's sort of kind of the thing that, that happens is we don't solve people's problems with this kind of coaching. We just point them back to the place before they created them as problems.
Mm-hmm. I can see that, and it was quite interesting how you put it there because, and thank you, Andrea, for your call. I found that it was, you know, because people say to me, don't you get nervous going on stage? And, you know, and I talk in front of thousands, and I say no, because I'm going to show them exactly what I want to show them. I can, you know, it's like if I decide I'm nervous, I think I'm quite shy and quite quiet. If you put me in a crowd of people, I'm one of these people that will stand at the corner until I find someone that I can talk to, and then I'll stick with that person forever.
In fact, I think that's how we met. We met in a corner.
I think it is, actually. But I am like that. And, you know, but that's my choice. And but when I get on stage, people go, you're not that quiet person. But, again, it's my choice. And I think that's what you were saying there about the sexuality and her, you know, being able to socialize was it's that choice. It's whether or not it's what we show people and it's what we choose to show people. That's what I found.
And for me, it's actually even beyond that because there's what we show people, but it's who we really see ourselves to be. And if you see yourself as anything less than part of God, then all you're seeing is a facet. All you're seeing is a particular pattern of thought and behavior, and you're defining that particular facet as the whole diamond. It's like I love the analogy of the, you know, the story of the blind man and the elephant, and, you know, the seven blind men, and the one who feels the trunk says, ah, I see an elephant is very like a snake. And the one who feels the tail goes, no, an elephant's like a rope. And the one who feels the legs goes, no, you guys are crazy, an elephant's like a tree. And it's, you know, to define ourselves in terms of any personality trait, whether we like it or we don't like it, is seeing such a small piece of who we are that it when you get in touch with that larger self, it's kind of comical.
Yeah.
You know, but when people touch that deeper part of themselves, that, you know, not everybody likes the God language, but I'm kind of comfortable with it. But, you know, they touch that God self. They touch that inner spirit. They touch that essential self. They touch the divine spark. They touch that part of themselves that is connected to the larger whole, to the intelligence and energy behind life. When someone's in that space in them, if you told them, hey, want a technique to get more confident, they would just laugh at you.
Yeah.
Because that's a little person problem. You know, I sometimes use the analogy of the weather, and that when our consciousness is really shrunken down and we're feeling like a little pathetic worm of a human being, then our moods and emotions can seem like lightning storms in the sky, and it's scary, and we get rained on and snowed on and hailed on and sleeted on. Well, the reality is we're the sky. And the sky doesn't particularly care, if I was going to guess, what weather is going on inside of it at any given time. And so we don't have to be scared of our emotions. We don't have to be scared of our peccadilloes and our personality habits, because we are so much bigger than that. And when we start to see that, not as a concept, I get as a concept, you may go, oh, yes, let me affirm, I am a God self, I am a part of the divine, I am a part of the universe. That's great, but that's nothing compared to seeing the truth of it. And what I always encourage people to do is just look. Don't buy it and don't reject it. Look for yourself. And fortunately for me, I know that when people look, they see what's real. And what's real is we think, we have the capacity to be aware of our thinking, we have consciousness, and we're part of a larger whole. We're part of a divine mind. We're part of a divine unfolding. There's an intelligence and energy behind life that will work through us and live through us if we let it. And we have the free will to allow that or to fight that. And that's it. Three principles: mind, consciousness, thought.
Very true. And you make it sound so easy. And you're offering a discount on your Inside Out program. For anyone who's listening to the show, this is where you can actually get, it's like a monthly. Is it monthly?
What it is is our most popular program where I kind of taught this online, because I just can't reach as many people face to face as I would like to. And when the book came out, when the Inside Out Revolution came out, we sort of refilmed the course to make it all pretty in Hollywood, and it's called Living from the Inside Out. And it's a chance through 12 lessons and a year-long community that you become a part of, where you can ask questions and be part of the community. You can learn this. I would always say to somebody, start with the book. You know, spend the $10, get the book, and you'll start to see what's underneath this. You'll start to feel that power working through you. But then if you want to go deeper, this video program is just a really fun, easy and community-based way to do it. And so, yes, we created a coupon code for your listeners. So I think you can correct me, because you might have this in front of you and I'm doing this from memory.
Do.
Oh, well, then I'll let you tell them.
Yeah, you can go to supercoach.com/Lisa, which is who I am, L-I-S-A, and the coupon code is LISA23, which is where you can get a discount on the Living from the Inside Out program. Now, I do want to take one more caller before we come off the air. And, you know, I deal with a lot of grief because, obviously, you know, I speak to dead people, let's put it bluntly. And there's a lady here, Janet, who's lost her mum, and she was her carer, and she really is struggling in taking the step forward now in moving on with her life. Hi, Janet. How are you?
I cannot believe you took my call. Thank you so much. I love you both so much. You have no idea. I listen to you all the time. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
You're welcome. Thank you. Janet, what's your question?
In this little bit of time we got together now.
Yes. Well, Michael, I'm a lot like you. I'm a former actor, and I spent 2 years looking after my mom, and now I don't even know, like, she left us the end of February, and now I don't even know, like, I don't know what I like anymore. I was so focused on caring for somebody else for so long that I do meditate. I do find a spiritual place every day, but I do feel connected to spirit, but I don't really feel connected to my own personality. And so, like, I am in this cocoon space. It's one of my favorite metaphors, too. I know I'm in a cocoon space. I don't know what's going to emerge, but I don't know what, if anything, what I can do while I'm cocooning.
Well, you know, this, what strikes me as I hear you is that's like when my son came to me at the age of 8 and said, "Dad, I want to be taller. What can I do to become taller?" And I said to him, "Well, nothing, but I promise you, you're going to become taller."
Okay.
It may or may not have comforted him, but it was true.
Well, in a way, it does, because it's like, you know, we're so trained to think I should be doing. And,
yeah.
You know, I feel like I need a rest.
Yeah, that's you want to do something, rest.
Okay.
Stop doing something. That's what you can do. And let life unfold. It's happening anyways. 8-year-olds grow taller. People who've been through a spiritual crisis, if I can put that term on it, come out the other side transformed. But there's nothing you can do when you're in the middle of it that's going to make it happen any faster or any slower.
Okay, well, that's validating to hear, and I appreciate that. And Lisa, in your dealing with grief and, mm-hmm. and everything, is there anything helpful that you have noticed?
You know,
or?
Yeah, I have. I've noticed a lot. And quite honestly, you know, I have people who come to me in different stages of grief. You know, they come in that space of not knowing what to do. They come in that space of, I just want to be with them. I don't want to live anymore. You know, there's so many different stages that people go through. And the one thing that I think the one thing that has helped anybody or everybody is the fact that you have to do it your way. What is right for you may not be right for the next person. And what is right for the one person may not be right for you. So Michael's right. If you need to rest, you rest. It's like you listen to your soul. And I always say to people when they're in this grief process, you know, what would your mom, your brother, your son, your daughter want you to do? How does that make you feel? And they're like, well, they don't want me to grieve. I said, that's them. But how do you feel? Embrace your feelings. Because, you know, they're so worried about, oh, what would my mum and dad think? What would this be? Da, da, da. I'm like, no, you have to embrace your life now. This is you. And if you are feeling, your soul is feeling, I need to rest, then you rest. If your soul is feeling like, I need to go out and dance and get drunk and have a party, that's what you need to do. Because sometimes we need to do that. We need to, you know, get out of that heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always say to people, get in touch with your own soul. When you can touch the core of who you are, which is what obviously we've been talking about today, you can actually connect with other souls. And I call it the underground network of souls. Because when you can touch your own soul, you've probably done it where you thought, oh, I'm going to think about my friend, and then suddenly they call you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know who's texting you, you know who's calling you. It's because you're actually in that space. You're probably doing something, you know, that you do every single day, washing up, driving, whatever it may be, that you can do without consciously thinking. And it's like you're in that space of being with you. You're constantly just in that space of being. And that's when you can connect with someone else's soul. And that's the place to be. And I say to people, if you're grieving, get in touch with you. It's very hard to do sometimes because you're in your own head, but get in touch with you and you can connect, and then you see the signs and you hear them and you feel them. Have you had many dreams with your mom?
One.
Okay. Because dreams, they come through in your dreams. They come through in your dreams very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And if this was a mediumship show, I would go, I have to tell you, I feel the energy here, and I want you to know she's absolutely fine. And everything that you did was perfect. Not sure if you've been worrying about that, but I've just been shown that everything you did was perfect. But
thank you.
But, you know, when you feel those dreams and when you see those signs, like it could be something that hits you a bit deeper. You know, you might see a butterfly every day, but then there's this one that keeps looking at you, and you go, "Is it a sign?" And it's when you question, "Is it a sign?" that you know it's really a sign, because it penetrates you deeper, and it hits you deeper, and that's the reality. Does that help you?
Very much. Thank
Good.
You.
Good. Janet, Michael's right. It will get better. But just be. Just absolutely just be. And do what feels right for you. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. You're
thank
welcome,
you, Janet.
Janet. Thank you, Janet. Take care. You know, I find that it's, you know, because obviously I deal with a lot of grief. And what you gave there, Michael, was absolutely great advice. It was perfect.
And it's as you say, it's what she already knew.
Yes.
It's her soul. It's her inner self doing exactly what it needs to do. And that's such a different thing from, oh, I'm supposed to rest. Oh, I'm supposed to go out and party. Oh, I'm supposed to get over this. Oh, I'm supposed to stay in this. we can drive ourselves nuts trying to follow advice and one good insight from you, through you, to you. That's what it takes to turn things around.
That's right, and it does. So we're coming almost to the end of the show. I mean, for those of you who've been listening, we've been talking with Michael Neal. He's got an amazing book, The Inside Out Revolution. As I said earlier, it's probably the most, you know, simple read that, and I don't mean simple in a negative form. It's been so simple, I get it. And so, you know, you can obviously go to Amazon, wherever. He's on Hay House as well, so obviously he's a Hay House author, but go to hayhouseradio.com. You can listen to Michael every single week. Also, go to supercoach.com to find out. I mean, Michael, your website is amazing. Do you do that yourself?
Well, I have a team that makes it pretty. I just give them too much to do by saying, hey, let's make this available. Hey, make this video available. Hey, let people listen to this recording.
Well, it's absolutely fantastic because I find that your website is very knowledgeable. You know, you can go there and find out everything. So go to his website, supercoach.com. Michael, I always ask everybody to give us a little bit of an insight, you know, some inspiration for the week. So what would your inspiration be for my listeners?
Take the week off. And what I mean is, you know, don't not go to work if you go to work. Don't not show up for what you show up for. But let it not be your problem this week. And see what comes through you when you let go of trying to take the reins.
That's a good way of being, putting it. That's incredible. Well, thank you, Michael, for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. You can go to supercoach.com to find out more about Michael. And thank you guys for listening. As I've said, please go to LWISSD. You'll find out all details about the opening of the school, where I am. I'm heading back to Norway. Next month, all over the place. So please come and join me. And thank you so much for joining me. And you guys have a fabulous week. Thank you so much.